Real people, real radio.
Initiating the truth frequency.
This is Truth Frequency Radio.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order. A world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
Welcome to Angry Beaver Radio here on truthfrequencyradio.com. And we are here live broadcasting out of the globalist occupied country known as Kanatistan. And we're here with Mark, Michael, and Daniel on the line. How's it going, guys?
Very well, thanks.
So
excellent.
Daniel, how's it going?
Not bad. There's been a pretty hectic week with the New World Order.
Yes, we were just shy of the Ferguson riots. Last time we spoke about it, we predicted that if the riots occurred, that it would be the doing of mainstream media and the hyping of this whole case. I mean, it was the doing of the rioters, but they definitely hyped this whole thing and helped kick this whole thing off. So anyways, the Ferguson riots, let's go with Daniel. What do you think of the Ferguson riots?
It was pretty amazing footage. I never seen it like that, because I'd always heard those legends that, like, that's how CNN started. They started with, like, being live on the scene and, like, actually in the event. Like, they were, like, in Desert Storm and stuff. And then I know there's all these videos where they show they staged a bunch of stuff on green screens and stuff. But this looked like there were a lot of it. They were on the streets, actually, and I just never really seen it where it's like they're like actually inside the like live event like this. Sort of like what's sort of portrayed in like protest documentaries. Like, you sort of get a feeling of it when you watch G20 Exposed or Into the Fire. But it's like this was like just like live on the news, like as if they're reporting like a huge riot going on. And it's like pretty much just the New World Order has arrived. That's what it reminded me of. Because you see the riot cops like pretty much a militarized police force.
Right. Now,
it's like all black instead of camouflaged military gear, but it's like all black, like Humvee trucks, like going through, they're throwing tear gas.
The mainstream media helped pour gas on this fire, so to say?
Yeah, because think of how many murders are committed like by police in the so-called in the line of duty or whatever, and then think of also how many kids are just killed by like other gangsters or whatever. It's like you don't see huge riots and stuff like that. It's like this is like
right.
Somehow was built up, you know, because
there's clear cases of you know, police killing people, whether they're black or white or whatever, where it's on video, and they definitely broke the law. Now, in this case, there wasn't video footage of what took place. All they had to go on was witnesses' testimony. So there's not much evidence other than witnesses' testimony, and they had to acquit the police officer. So to me, there's cases all over the place where people could have latched onto, but instead they went to the case that the mainstream media hyped up because they knew the cop would get acquitted. Hype it up, make it into a racial thing. Watch the acquittal happen, and then a riot occurs. And now I heard a CNN reporter got hit by a rock.
So, yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. How ridiculous it is! Like, they have reporters like in a dangerous place. Like, like that's what I always heard that CNN used to do. You know, but it's like even when they used to send Anderson Cooper around to the Middle East and stuff, he could sort of like hope that he's at least behind, you know, different kind of lines and stuff. But this is like they're like right in with the protesters, and they're it's pretty wild. It's pretty wild.
Well, I find it's only fitting that they got hit with a rock, considering they helped foment the bloody protest. They, you know, to me, that's my view of it. I don't know what you guys, what do you think of this whole Ferguson issue? Mark, let's go with Mark.
To me, it's a setup, because a lot of stories from the past would only last maybe, you know, one day at least, or just part of the day, and then they'd move on to something else. But the media is dragging this in longer for some reason. And to me, that's not right. Why would you drag something in as, someone robbed a store and the guy got shot of it, and that should be it. But they're making it into a racial thing. They're continuing it. They're just, to me, it's all a setup. You might have some real protesters down there, but to me, most of it is all set up by government. That's all I can say about it.
Well, just say, for argument's sake, just say there was video of what happened to this Michael Brown, and say the cop was in the wrong and this guy didn't do anything. He just got shot for no reason. Now, does burning and looting and rioting privately owned shops or homes or any of that stuff, how does that, you know, get payback for this kid's death? None of the people whose shops that were burned, they didn't have anything to do with this kid's death. They don't even work on the police force. So, I mean, even if, you know, for argument's sake, just say Michael Brown was not in the wrong and the cop was in the wrong. I mean, how does attacking people who had nothing to do with this whole thing, you know, how does that solve the problem? The whole thing to me is just staged and orchestrated. You had the federal government in on this whole thing, and then playing, you know, good cop, bad cop, saying, oh, localized police forces are becoming militarized, and and it's like, who militarized them? You gave them all the paramilitary equipment. Said, here's a bunch of old tanks and crap from Iraq. You know, it's...
Yeah, we're blaming somebody, the people, for doing the rioting, but we don't know who the rioters are exactly.
Right, we don't
know
if we find out
who they are and maybe who's... Yeah.
Yeah, we don't know if they are went to the protest to riot, or if these are... They could be paid provocateurs. How many, you know, paid provocateurs would you need to set a few fires? And I wouldn't be surprised, because of the way the police stood down and the fires just raged on until the buildings burnt to the ground. So, a little suspicious to me. There was I don't know if you know, there was provocateurs in there, or if there were actual rioters that went there to stir up trouble and lit these fires. But there could be provocateurs. But one thing's for certain is the police stood down in terms of stopping the burning and the looting going on, and they blocked fire departments from putting out fires, claiming that there's gunshots. You know, it's, I don't know, the whole thing was just reeks of a setup, the whole thing. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Michael, on this Ferguson issue?
So that reminds you of a G20. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, well, when I was kind of looking into it, didn't Michael Brown rob a convenience store of some cigars? And he was like resisting, being taken and held for police and stuff like that. He just grabbed cigars and people are trying to, trying to grab him and stuff like that. So he was resisting them, and he walked out the door with cigars. So he's not exactly innocent by any stretch of the imagination, but that doesn't mean that you should kill the guy. It's like if I pushed you, stuff like that, and you took out your gun and shot me and killed me, that is not justified. You know, if you're going to push somebody, you just push back. You don't take out your gun and shoot the guy, type thing. You know, but Michael Brown wasn't exactly great, but murder is murder anyways, regardless. But like I say, it's probably it's like a racial type thing. You know, they want to get one group fighting against another, and keep this racial war going and keep you occupied with doing that, and while the government is planning other things for you, like taking more of your civil liberties away and everything else. So yeah, I think it's being all staged as that, and just got to watch out for the black bloc type people going around starting things and everything like that. You know, that's where probably where the stand down was coming in, letting all the looting and all the fires and everything else, all the chaos go, you know, like the G20 here in Toronto. So, yeah, it's to me, it looks like a setup. It looks to be that way.
Yeah, it becomes the justification for the whole police budget and security budget and, you know, the all these new vehicles and new gear, I guess they buy the force. Yeah.
You got to pay for that somehow, right?
Yeah, and they need to have some incidents that show that it's justified.
Mm-hmm. Just like in Toronto with the G20, having the police cars out there just to burn. But you got to remember, those were the police cars that the police weren't even using anymore. Or rarely using, so you might as well get rid of your old vehicles instead of, why put in somebody for your newer vehicles? Might as well just put out your old ones. They're gonna get rid of them anyway. It's a good way to do it.
Yeah, instead of getting the, insurance, like a traditional car insurance scam where somebody would torch their own vehicle to collect the insurance money to get a new vehicle. This one's far greater because the police set up a bunch of old cruisers, let the anarchist black block aka provocateur or otherwise known as police dressed in black uniforms, show up and burn their own cars right in front of the media. The police on duty are keeping far away from these supposed anarchists, aka their fellow police officers dressed as anarchists. They burn a few of their own cars and they get billions in extra funding. Forget about, you know, $30,000 a car or some cheesy little pittance like that. Oh, this is an ultimate car insurance fraud. It's probably the biggest car insurance fraud I've ever seen in my life. Perpetrated, but not against the insurance company, against Canadian people, because that's who's paying for the extra funding that they got. But I don't know. Is that what happened in Ferguson? I'm not sure, but I'm highly suspicious because of the way the police were just standing there doing nothing as everything burns and preventing firefighters from going in claiming there's gunshots.
Well, look, if I could stand there looking like, looking the way they do and get paid standing down, why not? Don't have to do anything. I think a lot of it.
And the government could. The government could use this as well, that shooting of a black man who was apparently stealing from the store. They could use that as a race war. And the globalists, haven't they written books about hating blacks and you know, Hispanics? Don't they write about it in their books? We've read them. So this kind of, you know, you kind of fill in some of the dots here, you know?
Yeah, but I don't think they'll be successful in terms of getting, like, some kind of full-on race war, but it's enough definitely distractionary. They get enough people caught up in it to be distracted by it. But in today's day and age, I don't think they would be able to get a full-blown race war going. But, yeah, definitely. And they do definitely write mm-hmm. stuff like this in a lot of their papers about, you know, the blacks and the Jews and everything. They're all weeds, need to be routed out. You know, Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger.
Yeah, order out of chaos.
Bill Gates and his dad there. They're going to help Africa by getting rid of as many Africans as they can.
I think they call it
humanitarianism or philanthropy.
Been going on like that for years, John.
Yeah, apparently Stephen Harper and his wife has gone on a big, they've gone on a big vaccine campaign over in Africa there. The Conservative Party spending about $500 million on vaccines for African babies. So there you go.
Yeah. Right out of the Bill Gates handbook, for sure.
Anyways, guys, is there any
all of this
more on
leading up?
So just
I was pretty surprised when the officer appeared in the interview. Did you see the day after and the officer appeared for an interview to try to explain himself? Mm-hmm. I was surprised at that just because it's like, you know, they're going to make him like a celebrity now that he's like appeared in public, or that's what it seems like, you know. And then if they do that, then these protests could keep on going on forever, you know, if this guy stays in the limelight or if he stays as a police officer or whatever. But then they're saying that he's going to resign, and then even if he does, what would that mean? But then,
he's already did what he had to do, so there's no point in him, keeping going. He might as well resign because he was only there for that. To do that one thing, and that was it. You know, be part of that. Be part of the conspiracy.
Mm-hmm. I've got this short clip here from Daniel's YouTube channel, Reasoning Conspiracy. It's called "President Obama Predicts New World Order Riot." Let me just cue it up here. Let me see.
There is inevitably going to be some negative reaction, and it'll make for good TV.
That was my favorite part, is because that was almost right at the end of his speech. He took a few questions, and then he said that in one of the answers, and then they pretty much for like the next 3 hours, and then it was really actually it's still going on. CNN just showed like nonstop rioting coverage, right? It's like, this is going to make for good TV. And then what I saw, I don't know if I would call it good TV, but it was like, it was entertaining to watch, just because like I was at the G20, you know, I like saw this chaos happen, but it's like sort of becomes an entertainment thing when it's like, oh, you're in a safe spot, but then you're just watching this madness happen. And that's the sad part, is that like other people have to live through it, people down there. It's entertaining, but like, imagine if you lived in Ferguson, how you'd have to figure out a way to escape, basically.
Yeah, well, knowing Hollywood, they'd probably make it into a made-for-TV movie type thing.
Oh yeah, they'll have a Ferguson movie, yeah.
Oh, definitely. They always do, and they did with 9/11, they did with JFK, they'll do it with everything. So there's money to be made, you know.
Yeah.
Lots of money.
Al Sharpton knows all about making money off of fake activist groups.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah. He was on the TV a lot, spewing his propaganda.
Well, that's how he makes his money. He's made millions off of this, becoming a Marxist media whore. But that was before his days of being a coke pushing pimp. But hey, the past is the past, you know?
Yeah, well, sometimes the past will come up and bite you, you know.
Like Rob Ford?
Yeah, really. Oh, Rob Ford.
Yeah, this is his last weekend. Hey, John Tory's going to be sworn in next week.
Tuesday.
Tuesday, yeah.
Tuesday. Yeah, there's going to be a day where there's going to have dual mayors, with Rob's going to show around John Tory.
Yeah, that'll be Monday or Tuesday, probably.
So the new mayor is an open, you know, previous lobbyist, corporate crony whore. So, I mean, things will be good for you if you know all of John Tory's crony buddies and how to play, you know, in that game. You might be able to make some money, but otherwise, I mean, he's just another globalist corporate whore. He does not represent the people of Toronto one bit.
Well, all Rob Ford's going to do is just take John Tory around his own office and just take off the name off the door and put John Tory's name in there. That's it. The pens and everything else and writing pads and phone, it's all the same. Not going
to
change.
Well, he'll have to take down the football trophies and the bobbleheads and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. That's the only thing. But other than that, nothing changes, really.
But John Tory was involved with football, too, because he was a CFL commissioner at one time, even. But he was mostly known for Rogers. He was on the board of directors of Rogers. I think he was president at one time, too, or something.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, and then when he was running Rogers, it was when they did, they were known for a price gouging scheme. They did a scheme. I think one of their schemes, too, the CRTC just outlawed one of the ones where you can't opt out for, like if you opt out of your plan or whatever, you have to pay for till the end of the month.
Yeah, yeah.
Apparently the CRTC stopped that one, but I don't know. I guess we'll see, because that's how these, I guess all these cable companies can nickel and dime and stuff, and that's how they can make more money.
I think a little bit more than nickel and dimes.
Yeah, just as a figure of speech. Now it's like take, you know, $1 here, $1.50 every gigabyte you go over your internet bandwidth or whatever. $1.50 here, $1.50 there.
Well, I don't go over my bandwidth. I've never did, so I get
gigabyte
60 gigs
here,
of
gigabyte there.
Yeah, I get 60 megabits of data on my plan. So I never go over. So I don't give them an excuse to go on and dollar and half dollar type scheming. So I don't let them do that. So
the new mayor of Toronto, he's worked at so many different places, and he's been basically wherever he has worked, he's been their snake oil salesman extraordinaire, aficionado. And so John Tory is like one of the greatest snake oil salesmen on the planet. That's his only skill. He's a liar and a cheat and a thief. And he does not care about you, the person living in Toronto. He cares about him, his buddies, and their wallets. And if it occurs, then that's so be it. And that's what you get. And that's what you would have got with Olivia Chow Say-Tung or any of the other. The Ford brothers, do I think they're on the up and up? Well, I can't even compare them to Chow or Tory. I mean, you know, they had a print shop. If you need something printed, you know, give me some money, I'll print you up a sign or some photos or whatever you want printed. That's, you know, sure, they may have gotten some contracts or that. I don't know about those dealings, but they don't seem anywhere near the snake oil salesman or the used car salesman that John Tory is, you know.
Yeah, well, as far as you could go with the conspiracy that the media's built up is that the Ford, you know, that whole printing empire could just be a front for a massive drug empire, and then, but you don't want to just like create this conjecture just because of all these media stories and like all these connections that, you know, with the drug business and stuff, but at least, Rob Ford, they say he might make an appearance at the lighting of the tree ceremony tonight. They're going to do one in front of City Hall. But they're not sure because he's doing his like fourth round of chemotherapy or something. He's not supposed to be like making like public appearances, I guess.
Well, you have to think,
and they're taking selfies and everything.
John Tory has no charisma. I mean, he's got no character or charisma. He's just like planted.
Yeah, that's why he's the perfect candidate for to like replace him after
Ford. Well, I mean, even
Ford, yeah, Doug, it's like pretty much the opposite.
Even Doug Ford or Olivia Chow have some type of character. Even if I don't agree with Olivia Chow anything, she has a lot more character than John Tory. I mean, it's like, I don't know.
Well, it'll be funny in a few years once if Tory doesn't get his thing through, a smart track through, because then it's like everyone just got sold on the idea of an electric train. That's like not even feasible plan, how he's going to electrify the GO train tracks.
Yeah, he's going to convert
CTC trains on the GO train tracks.
Convert the diesel trains to electric?
Yeah. That's the smart track.
They could be hybrid trains, and he can run around smelling his own farts all day.
I like flying trains better.
Made out of napkins, though, or made out of stainless steel?
As long as they can fly, it don't matter. If I can ride on them, I'm up there, no problem.
Flying
trains, yeah. I think that flying train scenario is not too far off the mark, really, when you think about it. When you think down maybe another 100 years or so, we'll be flying up there.
Yeah, the part where you have to imagine it going through buildings, though, it gets hard to imagine.
Yeah, really.
Just imagine it going through the building.
Figment of your imagination, Daniel.
Teleportation.
Yeah, that's the kind of devices we need. Beam me up.
But if you could just, why teleport the train from one side of the building to the other when you could just teleport the people and just get rid of the flying train altogether? I don't know. But to those who don't know, one of the mayoral candidates of Toronto running for mayor suggested that we come up with ideas for a flying train that could fly through buildings without destroying them. So I don't know. Sounds like the monorail from hell. here in Canada.
Yeah, I think, see, what happened was Olivia Chow was trying to make a joke there, and she was trying to say that, that's what John Tory's plan was. It was just a thing drawn up on a napkin that actually doesn't make sense. Because some of the smart track, apparently the stations that John Tory's proposed are, like, actually go through buildings. So it's like, you know, smart track isn't going to happen. So really, what's John Tory going to do other than narrow the lanes? He's already said he's going to narrow traffic lanes to ease congestion. Yep. But the lanes are already narrow enough, I thought. It's like downtown is pretty tight to drive through.
You can barely fit mirror to mirror in the darn lanes.
Exactly. Oh. Yeah, you're giving people high fives as you're going along the lanes.
So how can you narrow the lane from what it is now? It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, that's a lunacy. That idea is complete lunacy. We're gonna narrow the lanes to ease congestion. What? It's like I'm having a hard time breathing, so I'm gonna wrap this boa constrictor around my neck to make it easier for me to breathe. It's ridiculous. You're constricting people more. But hey. I like Kramer's idea on Seinfeld. You get rid of you paint over the one line, so you got double wide lanes there. Lots of room to swerve around. I don't know.
Well, I heard that Doug Ford, he turned down the offer to go to be leader or go for the PC party.
Yeah, right? That's because he endorsed Jim Flaherty's, the widow of Jim Flaherty, Christine Elliott.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's a family friend, so he couldn't run against her, but probably if she doesn't win or if, you know, the next convention, maybe he'll run. Commander.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Because he's still got his name out there. He still did a press conference and stuff. And that's not going to run. Endorsed her.
We're coming up to break. We'll be right back after these messages with Black Friday and the Shopping Dead.
And then we watch the building collapse.
You don't want to know.
The whole building just collapsed on us inside the lobby.
Was that a secondary explosion?
Yes, it was.
That was the planet probably?
Yeah, definitely a secondary explosion. But we was inside waiting to go upstairs. And on our way upstairs.
So, you want the news and information without the hate, the hype, the fear. Well, you've come to the right place. You can support Truth Frequency Radio by spreading the word on social networking sites like Facebook, Twitter, or your favorite forums. Want to take Truth Frequency Radio on the road? Listen on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, or other mobile devices. Want more than just the free stuff? Sign up for a VIP membership for as little as $4 a month and get super high-quality downloads, member-only content, and instant access to your favorite shows without the wait. It's only through your loving support that we're able to cover the cost and continue broadcasting. So now, stay tuned for more Free Speech Radio right here on the Truth Frequency Radio Network. KTFRN Worldwide.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you, has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org. Wouldn't it be nice to have one product that replaces more than 10, saving you space, time, and money? HempUSA.org has a complete full-spectrum vitamin mineral detox formulation called Micro Plant Powder Gold. Micro Plant Powder Gold contains 101 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and iodine, has a 100-year shelf life, and is a perfect addition to any storage shelter. Make Micro Plant Powder Gold your choice. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org today.
The Kev Baker Show.
Monday through Friday, True Frequency Radio.
After 1989, President Bush said, and it's a phrase that I often use myself, that we needed a new world order. And instead, it looks like we got a lot of disorder. We still, and after 9/11, we've been more sensitive to the.
So we have to shape an international order that can meet the challenges of our generation.
This week on The Shopping Dead.
Give me that camera! Give me that! It's so
empty! Welcome back to Angry Beaver Radio, and it is Shopping Dead time. Black Friday is here. And we're thinking of starting a new TV series, TV drama, call it The Shopping Dead. Group of survivors got to roam around amongst the crazed zombie shoppers trying to survive. You know, I don't know, what do you guys think? Black Friday, what do you think of all the crazed lunatic zombies out there fighting over saving $100 or $200 on a TV or something?
Well, yeah, I don't think that's... Go ahead, guys.
Yeah, I was looking at it, and I was kind of laughing because it looked like the front people that were leaning up against the glass from the front looked like already had their faces up against the glass, pushed by other people. And then when the doors opened up, boom, it was like a stampede in there, and it looked like one lady was getting almost trampled, pushed over because these other people want to get... This probably was just only one thing that they wanted, and that was it. And the only thing that was on display was that one particular item, and they're all fighting to get everybody to get to that one piece of equipment, and all utter chaos started. And yeah, that's the way these things do it. And zombies do exist, you guys.
Well, this is what I don't understand. You can't yell fire in a crowded theater. When it's, you know, if it's false, because, you know, it causes stampede and all this other stuff and trample people. But, you know, it's okay for this to occur inside of a Walmart or a Target.
Why do the globalists call it Black Friday? Is there any meaning to it?
I'm sure there is. I'm not sure. I've read a couple articles about it, but I couldn't confirm whether those were true or not. So,
what do those articles say?
One of them says that one of them was happened in after Thanksgiving, and had something to do with slavery and a better deal on slaves or something. Was that true or not? I don't know.
I saw there's ones where it was like that it's just a term for when the store has to even out their books or whatever, so they got to be in the black if they're like in the red or whatever, so they do a markdown on certain amounts, so they sell quantity. And then the other one I saw an article was about Philadelphia. It said it was a Philadelphia police code. They used to call it Black Friday, the Friday after Thanksgiving, because they used to get the most calls or something for like people freaking out, I guess, because like basically your people freak out on Black Friday.
Is there a full
and now
moon?
It's turned into a whole weekend long. Basically, it's like a week, 2 week event now.
Well, this Black thing, I'm not against getting a deal or a good sale. Don't get me wrong, but if anyone doesn't know, especially from Canada here, because we have Black Friday deals, but I've never seen any lineups and hordes of people trampling each other and fighting over Chinese slave-made goods that are worthless and cheap anyway. I mean, we don't really have that here, but for people who don't know what Black Friday is, go look at it. It is insane. If you haven't seen it, it's unbelievable. You'll be like, these people are out there fighting and tearing at each other. They look like, it looks like a horde of zombies, but instead of trying to eat brains or flesh, they're trying to get, you know, the latest tablet or a memory card or a camera that's on sale. It's just absurd.
And a selfie stick. That's what I want.
The self-boom stick, so you could take pictures of yourself.
Getting trampled.
That's what I would like to have gone down there to Ferguson, is take a selfie with a rock. That'd be an idea.
I heard CNN News Network rocks pretty hard down there in Ferguson. They're rocking out.
Yeah, they're the rock and roll specialists.
Yeah, getting back to the slavery and the possible Black Friday connection, at work, when I'm going home, I say to a couple of guys, "Oh, okay, I'll see you tomorrow," like that. And the guy said, "What'd you say?" "Well, I just said, see you tomorrow, boys." And he says, "You know, that's a racist term, eh?" And so you get a lot of these things, coming up, and then you would think Black Friday, black slaves, so there's kind of one connection, but the other connections you can't really make. And when you were saying, Danny, earlier about you're in the black or in the red, I thought it was you're in the red or you're in the green. So that's what I was comparing.
Yeah, but then I think black is breaking even. So it's like the starter, they had to sell enough quantity to break even from if you're down really far down or whatever. And it's like, oh, well, at least we broke even. We didn't make any money this year, but,
Yeah, well, basically, Daniel, guys, what they want to do is, they didn't make enough money for the year, so they don't care. They'll mark it up like to 90% off just so they can pay the rent.
And pretend it's a deal. Exactly.
Yeah, pretend it's a deal. But you're not really getting a deal.
Because if you put a thing out, if you put a big sign that says sale on it and it's like Black Friday time, people think it's like a deal, even though they don't know their regular price is like, could be even less.
Yeah,
that's
be
the
like,
time to mark it up if you're going to mark it up, I guess.
Exactly. So I think the best way to do it is wait till January, to, because usually on Boxing Day, you can't negotiate a price. They say whatever's there, whatever price is there. You can't negotiate. But if you wait till after Christmas and Boxing Day and get maybe early January when they want to get rid of some stuff, that's the best time to get your deals. The best time.
Yeah, once they, you want to go get your deals once all these retailers have crunched their numbers and realized they fell way short this season on what their projected sales would be. Once they realize how short they fell, they feel that they're in a hurting situation, so you're more likely to find some better deals there. But
maybe that's why the Black Friday is lasting maybe a week or 2 weeks. Maybe that's why.
Well, it lasts all the way up to Christmas because that's what it really starts. It's the reason for the season. And then Christmas is the, just like a big, festive, commercial, event, I guess.
It's the Black Holiday. That's what it is, probably the Black Holiday.
They light all these trees, but then there even is a part, in the Bible where it says you're not supposed to, worship decorated trees. So why do they, have it as the, Christmas is supposed to be a Christian, holiday, but then, it's like there's
that's like the
stuff
ultimate,
they're warning against you in the Bible.
The ultimate environmentalist tree hugger thing, you know, because it's like, remember kids would play with, girls would play with dolls and dress them up, and then, it's like some wacko environmentalist would play with trees and dress them up, make them look prettier. I don't know.
Boy.
Well, yeah, but you think that the environmentalists would be upset about the Christmas trees because they're cutting them all down, right? They would want to...
They probably are.
They're always the ones with the needles, too. They're the needle.
Yeah, but I mean, you could go get a fake Christmas tree. It's made in China. I've got one here. And I was thinking this year, I'm going to get some type of netting and basically decorate it with netting, and that'll be suicide nets. And, yeah, and maybe I'll put iPhones underneath the tree or something.
A selfie stick.
Selfie sticks, yeah, exactly. So decorate my slave-made, made-in-China fake tree, decorate it with suicide nets and get iPhones for everyone. Why not?
You're a smart guy, John.
It's a brave new
Christmas. You got everything smart, so you're a smart guy for thinking of something like that.
Well, it's a brave new Christmas this year.
Well, I was watching some of the footage from the Black Friday riots, and then it's like whenever it's a huge crowd and they're all just rushing to get the thing, like on the shelves, pulling the products off the shelves, you can see they're going so fast they don't even know what the product is. Like there's no way they'd even know what they're even grabbing some of these scenes. So it's like they're just grabbing any product they can find in there. And then that's where it just becomes a competition, like a survival of the fittest. It's like it is the law of the jungle of the New World Order.
Well, it's absurd. If I was out shopping for groceries or something and other customers were acting like that, I mean, as soon as somebody put their hands on me, it'd be fight time. You know, don't touch me. I don't care. But that being said, I would not purposely go to one of these Black Friday store openings because you know what's going to happen. So I wouldn't put myself in that position. But if it was a regular shopping day, and somebody acted like that to me, like, forget it.
Yeah, you'd have to be in a full, like, basically a full body armor, bulletproof vest, like, helmet, and hazmat suit.
I don't know how more fights don't break out. It's like these people know that, you know, they're going to push and shove people, and they just have to accept being pushed and shoved and have their stuff stolen and not retaliate.
It's good. Yeah, some of them could have knee pads and elbow pads because they're getting black down
block,
on the ground.
Yeah, black block types.
Well, the whole thing is weird. I don't understand the whole thing. It's like some weird phenomenon. It's crazy. It's the shopping dead. It's like the walking dead. They're zombies, but they're shoppers. They're shopping zombies, the shopping dead.
Yeah, I think it's the Reaper virus or something. You know, it's whenever the thing that makes the zombies go hyperactive, though, because these aren't like the slow moving ones. Some, at least when they open the store doors, they're fast moving.
Yeah, but I mean, here's the thing. Can somebody who hasn't turned yet, can they turn? Can is the shopping dead virus, is it spreadable? Like if next year in 2015 on Black Friday, if we see Mark Dice running around in the lineup, you know, trying to talk a war over TV, then we know the shopping dead virus is contagious.
He's got to get a Santa beard somewhere.
Well, we would know that it would be contagious. You know, if Mark Dice was in there and he became part of the shopping dead, we'd know that it would be possible for people to turn.
Yeah. The Dead Dice Show.
Yeah.
I don't know. At least he gets the people in line. That's where he gets them because he's got the megaphone. You can get him in line, but I guess it's hard to get him inside the department stores. Like, I think they've got different precautions because remember there used to be people would do the 9/11 stuff. They'd get on the intercoms and stuff. They probably changed all the intercom systems.
What if he went in there and what is like say next year? What if he went in there like and posed as one of the shopping dead and try to walk amongst them?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He needs a GoPro camera. You need a GoPro camera, a bulletproof vest, a helmet, and a hazmat suit to be totally protected.
He could get in tug of wars with people over stuff, and then after he wins it, he just puts it down and goes and gets in another tug of war. Like he on a shopping dead. You should have a shopping dead infomercial channel, like you know.
Good for business. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty similar too. The it's like Ferguson riots, the Black Friday riots. Like pretty much, there's riots everywhere. People breaking stuff down. But I guess one they're paying for, the other one everyone's paying for. Yeah, I guess pretty much everyone's paying for everything now. Nothing free really anymore. So you just got to, the only way to get something free is if you just take it, like the kid in Ferguson, you just take the cigars. And then you do that, and then, authorities will be alerted. It's like pretty much, there's bad videos where you see these security guards in these, department stores freak out and like tackle people. Like they're pretty brutal, you know, so you don't want to be shoplifting anything. So it's like pretty much you're stuck. Got to hope for a deal, I guess.
Well, with the securities and department stores, you know, like, they're all dressed up in normal clothes. Like, when you look at them, you don't know who they are because they're all wearing normal clothes, just walking the aisles and all this kind of stuff. Cause I used to know one. Used to be in Walmart one time. Hey, a female, and she'd be walking the aisles, you know, just looking at things and stuff like that, and maybe pick up a product and look at it. Looked like she was a normal shopper. But then you'd see her just looking down the aisles here and there, you know, that type of thing. But I knew who she was, so I didn't bother her too much. I'll just notice her and give her a little, a head nod and stuff like that. And she'd do the same thing and that type of thing, yeah. So I don't know if they still have them because they got security all over. Even at Square One here in Mississauga, they got tons of security all over the place. And, Mark and I were there a few years ago, putting down Bush dollars and stuff like that. And we almost got banned from Square One.
Deception dollars, yeah.
Those 9/11 deception dollars. I remember those.
Yeah. Almost got kicked out. Store.
Yeah, and the security was asking us, "So are you the guys have been putting those things on in the tables and even giving them out?" And yeah, he says, "Oh, you don't do that in here. We'll bar you from the mall." So, but anyway, those were our days. Yeah, so I put them on the bus shelters outside somewhere. So,
were those guards dressed as the full guard uniforms, or those like plain clothes guys?
No, full guard uniforms, yeah.
The plainclothes guys, I think they hide them probably in the store. But some of those, I think they still have them, because some of those are the videos I saw. You see them tackling the guys pretty hardcore.
Yeah, you call them rent-a-cops. That's what you do.
Yeah, but we weren't selling anything. We weren't, might have been peddling, but we weren't selling anything. It's just like you bring a paper or a magazine from outside. What's the difference? And it's not real money. We're not giving real money out. It's not really even fake money per se.
No, it had a lot to do with the content of the dollar.
Deception dollars.
Deception dollar had Bush on it, and a lot of people do not like that. You know.
They don't even be reminded of the Bush years.
Come on, that's ridiculous. I may not.
Those were the days. It was Axis of Evil.
I may not like what your magazine or newspaper says, but what can I do about it? Tell you not to bring it into the mall? That's kind of crazy.
No, it's all about the content of those Bush dollars, New World Order type thing, and Bush's. Compared with 9/11, all this kind of stuff, and you know, it's the content of that, all those Bush dollars that really almost did it for us.
Well, what if your magazine, McLean's magazine, was pro Harper, saying all these good things about Harper? Should I be able to complain about it? Say you shouldn't have that around me.
McLean's get the McLean's magazine banned from the mall.
Yeah. They sell it in the mall?
Like they banned, like they wanted to ban you guys for handing out flyers. I don't know. I mean, that's a typical story. We've run into security guards all over the place, but I mean, you got to expect that if you're on so-called private property and they have security and you're flyering car parking lot or, you know, parked cars or around the mall or any type of restaurant, that somebody's going to come up to you and say, "Hey, get that out of here." Now they could try to say, "Hey, you're soliciting here and you're not supposed to do that." But when they look at it, they're going to realize you're not really selling anything. It's just information. So that's usually why they just say, you know, just to ask you to leave. But yeah, some malls will try to bar you if they don't like what you're doing. Now, other places, the security will see what you're doing and be like, "Yeah, right on, man. Keep going." So. It's kind of hit and miss, but I don't advise that, and you know, anyone deciding to distribute flyers or leaflets or any of that kind of stuff with whatever information, if you're on private property and private security comes up, just you know, be nice with them, cooperate, and be on your way, because if it's on private property, you don't really have much to say there.
Yeah, even the transit terminals, you know, you get that's all private property too. If you go to a bus shelter waiting for a bus and you leave a DVD or a flyer there, but people do that anyway, you leave information, and most of the information people that are leaving are soliciting to make money. But when you're just doing it like we're doing, you're not doing that for that purpose. You're just leaving out information. And, you know, the people, like the cities are complaining that there's too much propaganda and too much soliciting on polls and everything else, you know, throughout the city. It makes the city look dirty. You know, now that, now what they're doing at, even in Toronto now, they're building certain shelters. They're building shelters and they have an area, a board, where they, you can pin up and you can staple all sorts of different things so you don't have to get the rest of the shelter littered with flyers and stuff.
Right, exactly. But, yeah, there is city ordinances on that, but again, the city will say it's private property, but it's not. You know, the city property is the people who live in the city. That's publicly owned land. Mm-hmm. You know, so when they come up with these ordinances, oh, you can't put out a flyer. Well, it's, if it's not commercial, then I think their ordinance is BS. For commercial purposes, I understand, but for people who are just lost their cat, lost their dog, putting up flyers on posts, and this idea that, oh, you can't do that, that's ridiculous.
Is the Canadian Exhibition Grounds, is that all private property, that, or is that all public?
I don't know. You'd have to look into it. But what I'm saying is most of the bus shelters in that, those are on public sidewalks. So the government doesn't own that. The people own that. The people fund the government. So anything that the government, well, this is government property, that's the people's property.
So you can put a flyer or whatever up there if you want.
Well, if it's non-commercial, you should be able to.
But the city people, if they see you putting that up, they'll tell you to take it down.
Well, it's nonsense. It's not theirs. It's, you know what I'm getting at? The city hall or the bus shelter is, it's not, they don't own it. They work for the government. They're employed by the people. We pay for everything. So they don't really have any standing, unless it's commercial.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But, you know, for the city to tell some people you can't be putting up your lost cat flyers to find your cat, or we're going to find you, that's ridiculous.
Well, maybe you should have had your cat microchipped.
Yeah, right.
But that way you don't have to waste paper. But
yeah, they're talking about cat licensing in the city. I don't know if it ever went through. A friend of mine was telling me a couple of years back about they want to do cat licensing, and your cat's going to have to be licensed and registered. And they're now recruiting school children to run around and try to snoop and find out if there's any unregistered cats in the neighborhood. Like, it's just money grab. They just want, you know, whatever it is, $25 a cat or something in their pocket.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, animals, they're part of your family. So they're looking at that part of it too. Well, you bought the cat; it's all registered and it's got its vaccines and everything else is dewormed and everything else. It's part of your family now, so that means you have to register your pet. You know what I mean? And once you do that, and you have to get a microchipped and everything else, because it's part of your family now. Because a lot of people dress the animals up in little bows, like the female ones. They dress them up with bows, like they're part of the family. They're not. Pets are animals anymore. They're part of you now, see.
And don't you care about your children as much as you care about your dog or your cat? Why wouldn't you get your children microchipped? Don't you want to keep them safe for Big Brother?
You care more about your animal, pet, than you do about your own children?
This way Big Brother can keep an eye on your family all the time. And that's why you should switch to Rogers Smart Home, offered here in Canada, so that Big Brother can keep an eye on you with a camera inside your house.
And built into your TV.
Yes. You'll have a direct line.
That's why they call it a smart TV.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
It's the new smart home from Rogers. Verizon carries it. All the big telecommunications company have smart home services. And literally you can put, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, a dozen cameras in your place all around the inside of your house. and keep your family safe. Big Brother's got you covered. And it's people are paying extra money for this service. Like, who would pay for that? Like, what did you do to have that happen? It's almost like what bank did you rob to have cameras on the inside of your house? Welcome to the new prison home from Rogers.
And sometimes you'll see bars on certain homes that they come with the home. It's not that you paid money to have them installed. No, they're already installed. You know, it's like when you're living in an apartment, you have your bedroom windows or whatever, only you open a certain amount because a little clip in the back where they only open up maybe about 4 to 6 inches. That safety, everybody has to have them, whether you have children or not. You have to have them. So the authorities will come in and they'll check your windows to make sure that this feature is still there and connected. Or else, if not, you have to be charged for it if it's broken. Another money grab. So these are more safety features, but now they've upgraded these systems now where you have to get it. There's no turning back. You have to get these features. Welcome to the new world order.
Big Brother will keep you safe. Big Brother's always watching.
If Big Brother's keeping us safe, how come Ferguson's all going crazy right now?
Big Brother stood around Ferguson while the whole place burned to the ground, and Big Brother stood there and did nothing.
Are they going to pick up the pieces after?
I don't know. How could they? You see the people, the drooling morons standing behind the riot shields? They couldn't rebuild a straw house. Come on. If any of these people had any skill or talent, they wouldn't be working for the police force in the first place.
Exactly. Well, we got break coming up, guys. See you after the break.
Joe Joseph here for Truth Frequency Radio. According to AllGov.com, since 9/11, a total of 238 Americans have died from a terrorist attack. That's 24 a year, making your chance of dying 1 in 625,000. Conversely, you have a 1 in 1,000 chance of becoming a victim of police brutality. Yet we spend trillions of dollars on the war on terror while militarizing an abusive police force. At TruthFrequencyRadio.com, we have a team of the very best personalities in independent media. A team that's dedicated to bringing you reliable and rock-solid news and information so you can arm yourself with knowledge and join the fight against worldwide oppression and tyranny. Truth Frequency Radio. News without the hate, hype, and fear.
Archaeology, astronomy, alchemy, secrets of the Holy Bible, hidden codes of the Quran, demonology, Tesla technology, solar power, extraterrestrials in the ancient world. More than 500 documentaries, an experimental film lab of cutting-edge music and art, full-length movies, conference reports, and weekly TV shows. The Enigma Channel is the world's first truly global TV station. www.enigmatv.com. Intelligent television for planet Earth.
Sure, I'm glad I tried that new Iodine Now microplant powder formulation.
You liked it, huh? I told you it would change your life.
Yeah, I feel fantastic, and I have so much more energy.
Hi, I have your Iodine Now delivery.
Oh, yes, my second order arrived. Thank you so much.
Hey, buddy, why don't you ask this lady out for a date? Good idea. Now that I'm taking iodine now, I have the energy to enjoy my life again. It looks like you're getting back your old charm, buddy.
I'd love to go out to dinner with you. And can I try some of the iodine now?
Of course you can. You just delivered me a 1-year supply. Your future looks really great. I finally agree with you.
Iodine Now, part of the Micro Plant Powder family. Micro Plant Powder is available in 15 different formulations. Call 888-910-4367 or visit the website to find the one that's right for you. And listen to our new audio descriptions for every product only at MUSA.org.
You are now tuned into the Truth Frequency.
We are TFR. TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
Welcome back to the Angry Beaver Radio here on TrueFrequencyRadio.com. And we are broadcasting live out of Kanatistan, occupied by globalists. Now, there's a pipeline protest going on. And Daniel, what's the deal? What's going on over there in the pipeline protest? I don't know.
I think it's like it's pretty much a stage. Seems like a staged event, but they are like the crowd is the environmentalist crowd. That's why Dave Suzuki did an appearance this week.
Right. So we've got longtime globalist propagandist minion David Suzuki. Spent most of his career working for the CBC, pushing all this nonsense. He's nothing but a propagandist and a liar. Refuses to debate on any of the issues that he espouses to be true. He won't debate the other side. So again, you know, you Americans out there that think David Suzuki is some authority on the environment or something, he's not. He's just your version, our version of Al Gore. So anyways, we've got David Suzuki's grandson apparently was arrested up there at this protest. And then David Suzuki had a speech. So let's have a listen to David Suzuki's grandson's speech since he got back from the from being arrested there.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for having me. I hadn't had a speech planned, so I'm just going to wing it. Anyway, my name's Tamo, and I'm David Suzuki's grandson, for those of you that don't know. Anyways, I'm a little flustered after yesterday and a bit emotional, so hopefully I don't choke up in this, but yesterday really put things in perspective. What is radical? Is it radical to expand fossil fuel infrastructure in the midst of climate change?
Yes!
Is it radical to use police force to quell public opinion and public opposition? It's not radical at all to stand up and be arrested to unjust laws. This is insane. Like, why are we putting our economic system, the market, above the very ecology that we all depend upon? We're more dependent on clean water, fresh air, and clean soil than the market. It's the thing that keeps us alive. And we have to stand up to unjust laws to make those the laws, because those are the laws that have always governed our lives. And indigenous people have had natural laws that predate colonial laws by thousands of years, and we need to respect that. Our government comes in and says they've reconciled. Have they reconciled? Everything that happened yesterday was illegal.
Yeah.
There are no treaties on this land, and we are not being led by the people who rightfully own these territories. So, thank you all for coming out and being here today. Thank you.
So that was David Suzuki's grandson who got arrested. And, you know, all the big news, the CBC news was there with their, you know, $10,000 microphones. And none of the real activists ever get this kind of media coverage. But this is a joke. I mean, who is funding these phony activists? It is OPEC, Saudi Arabia, the Rockefellers, U.S. Oil, interests. They don't want a pipeline going east, west, or south. Okay? They want to keep Canada's oil landlocked. Now, I think they may be giving up because of the dramatic decrease in oil prices. It seems OPEC's on the attack. This could just be political football in order to bring Russia into submission through low oil prices.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this one's going through because even Justin Trudeau came out in favor of this one, Kinder Morgan. I don't know why there's so many protesters on this one.
But here's the thing. If Saudi Arabia keeps oil prices artificially low, it's too low for it to make any money off the oil here. You know what I mean? There's an energy war going on, and these environmentalists don't even realize. Well, I'm sure the paid ones like Suzuki and his son realize it, but most of them, for the most part, think they're going to save the planet. No, you're working for Saudi Oil. Saudi Oil doesn't want the competition. Neither do the Rockefellers. So, and this is the thing. This isn't like a Canadian company. You know, that we sold the oil sands to China, to some Chinese company. You know what I mean? So,
yeah. This one looks like it goes from Edmonton to Vancouver area, but then they want to build a new part that goes directly to Vancouver, because part of it goes, I guess, to BC, and then another part goes to Washington State. Like, it splits off when I looked at the thing on the map. But
well, to me, we no longer had a dog in this fight as soon as we sold the tar sands to some Chinese company. And now the fight's between this Chinese oil company trying to get the tar sands exported and, you know, the Saudi Arabians, and then you've got the Rockefellers and their interests are against it. But then you've also have this other force, Russia, who the globalists appear to be against. It's hard to say, though, because it could just be an issue of good cop, bad cop, and they're just playing controlled opposition. You know, it's not as if Mikhail Gorbachev ever backed off of his UN Agenda 21, tirade around the world. Still going on that nonsense. So, are the Russians still globalist controlled? Are they actually bucking the system? Hard to say, but these oil prices will financially hurt Russia. So it's really, to me, it's hard to get a grasp of what's going on. But one thing's for certain, these protests groups against the oil sands and the pipelines are just ridiculously overtly funded by George Soros, the Rockefellers, OPEC nations, like blatantly out in the open. So that's why I have no respect for Neil Young when he shows up here in Canada for his Honor the Treaty tour and shows up with a bunch of American actors posing as Canadian natives. It's disgusting. You know, Neil Young and his just another Rockefeller New World Order minion. But what can I
say? Who controls the world's banking system anyway? Or most of the world's banking system? Wouldn't they control Russia's banking system and Russia's politics? So why would Russia be the innocent one in all this? If the bankers control everybody? That, to me, doesn't make any sense. I cannot connect anything here.
Well, I mean, yeah, I don't know if Russia is truly opposition to the global elite or if they're just controlled opposition. I suspect controlled opposition.
Hmm.
You know, I don't.
The bankers don't control Russia at all, their economy and their government.
No, I suspect Russia is controlled opposition. That's not what it says. I suspect Russia is controlled opposition, is not truly anti-globalist or anti-New World Order. But they're posing. Mm-hmm. They're posing, yes. So.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like a staged battle. And then that's where when they put the currency into it, that's when it affects everyone, I guess. If they're doing a currency war, or even the oil war, too, I guess, because the oil... It's an important thing, right? Because that's one of the things the Fed doesn't count for inflation rate, right?
Well, and you've got the BRICS nations started their own bank and want to use heavy metals. Now you've got what looks like a lot of heavy metal manipulation. You've got rigging in the oil markets. This is dropping the price of metals. I think we could possibly see a further drop in the price of precious metals and oil and other commodities. It doesn't mean that there's no value in those commodities. It just means they can rig any part of the market. You know, all the gold and silver bugs are like, well, you know, for every piece of silver they get out, they sell 100 pieces of paper promising that ounce of silver. Well, yeah, even if that's true, they just keep flooding the market with more paper silver, and they can whack the price down. So these markets are all manipulated. You know, it doesn't really matter how much physical gold or silver there is when 90% of it's fake, imaginary gold and silver on paper.
And that's why we're all confused, whether we should buy gold or just go with the paper or buy silver. We don't know what to do.
Oh, I don't have any advice for that because, like I say, all these markets are manipulated. I mean, I understand there's, you know, a physical piece of gold or silver has some physical value to it. It, you know, it's better than an imaginary nothing. But at the same time, the value of the imaginary nothing value equated to that piece of gold or silver can be manipulated one way or the other by the same powers that be. So I don't have financial advice for people.
Just print your own money, John.
Well, hey, if silver goes down, you know, say to like 10 or 8 bucks an ounce, I'd be trying to buy up as much as I could probably.
But, sure, because you know eventually it's going to go up. Why not?
Well, it might, but it might not. I don't know what's, you know, it's a risk I'm willing to take at that price. But the geopolitical, the way things are going geopolitically, I could see oil, silver, and gold take a bit of a tumble. But, you know, who knows?
Gold is getting close to $1,000 an ounce already, isn't it? Pretty close, 1,100 something.
Yeah, it's down. It's been down.
Yeah, oh yeah.
For a while.
Sure. But I still have my piece of silver. I'm not too sure exactly how much it is worth now, but I still have it. It's kind of tarnished a little bit, but other than that, it looks okay. Doesn't affect the value of it anyway.
No.
Oh, no.
And that's the thing. You get the coin collectors and those people, and then you got the bullion people. If you're into gold and silver, you got to deal with bullion dealers. You get these coin morons, and they're inspecting for the quality and the blah blah blah. And it's like, look, the bullion dealer, it's like this. It's worth this much an ounce. That's it. I don't care if there's a scratch on it. But I don't care if it's tarnished. The coin collector puts all this assumed value and all this other crap that nobody really cares about. I mean, half the stuff you're trading around just keeps getting remelted into new bars and coins anyway, over and over again. But no, this idea, oh, don't take it out of the case. Don't take it out of the bag or out of the case that it came in. That's the first thing you do if you buy gold or silver. The first thing you do is you take it out of the case because you have to make sure that you didn't just get sold a fake.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the first thing that the bullion dealer does when you bring to sell to them. They take it. If it's in a case, it's getting broken open. Your cases are going in the garbage. They're going to have to test it, make sure it's the real thing.
Well, you got to test it when you're there.
Does the customer be any different? So these coin shop people, I don't click with them at all. They're morons. It's the worst, one of the worst place, hawk shops and coin shops. Bad place to deal in gold and silver. You need to go to the bullion shop that trades within a couple of dollars a spot. And that's a good price. Anything more than that, forget it. You know? But yeah, the coin shop, they're gonna say, oh, well, this bar has a scratch or this coin. And then they put all this ridiculous value on supposed collectible coins. You know, on a coin that's worth $15 worth of scrap silver. And they're like, I want $49.99. Well, because it's collectible. It's tarnished. It's circulated. It's got scratches all over it. You know, and I don't know. It's just ridiculous. We call it junk silver. The bullion dealers call it junk silver. They sell it at a discount. The coin collectors sell it at a giant markup. It's insane. And I'm just not a sucker, so I don't typically deal with any type of coin dealers when it comes to gold and silver. But, hey, if prices go down, I see it as a positive in terms of if somebody wanted to buy. But hey, I'm not offering advice. I'm just saying what I'm thinking.
Would you take your own advice?
Yeah. Well, it's not advice, so but that's what I'll do. If I see silver take a tumble, go down another $6-7 or something, I'll be trying to buy up whatever I could afford. Which isn't much, you know. I don't have that much disposable income, but, you know, because that's the whole idea. You got to buy low, sell high, not buy high, sell low.
Thinking it's going to go high.
Yeah.
Doesn't work that way. You end up being disappointed, so, yeah. Yeah, I think I bought my silver when the value was like $30 or whatever, or close to it. I think that was 2011. Steve and I went up to the bullion place at Dundas Square.
Yeah, those are good places to buy at and sell at.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but I think I bought it maybe a little bit too high because now I'm stuck with something I paid a higher price for. And now the value has actually gone down to maybe about $18-19 or whatever it is.
Right.
So I didn't get my true value out of it.
Well, it might come back up, but if it goes down any further, you might think about getting a piece on sale, so to speak.
Yeah, sure.
If an ounce was only $7 or $8, well, geez, that's pretty cheap. You could afford an ounce once in a while.
Oh, yeah, definitely, for sure.
But yeah, I know a lot of people, they freak out when they see the price of metals go down, and I'm like, what do you mean? That's, you know, get a deal. If it was Black Friday, the debt would be all over them.
Well, sure.
But
yeah, it's supposed to be a long-term store of wealth. It's not like a get-rich-quick scheme.
No, exactly. That's the thing. It's not some get-rich-quick scheme. It's a store of wealth that, and it's, like, say, if you have something in the bank, saving all this money in the bank, the government makes up some reason why you owe it to them or whatever the case may be. If you have all this money in gold or silver, nobody knows you got it. You got all this wealth buried around.
Exactly. It's on you. It's in your pocket, not their pocket.
Right.
The money you got in the bank, that's all made up currency. It's made of nothing. It's just a piece of paper, just like the marriage license. Just a piece of paper.
Right.
It's not worth anything. See, when you go to get married, and you sign that marriage contract, it's a contract. It's a binding contract. If you go to a bank and you signed all these things and you put it your John Henry in all capital letters or whatever it is, you've signed into that contract and you're bounded. You're bounded by that contract. Same with the marriage license. Same thing. It's a government issued ID. Right? So whenever you have children, even through the birth certificate, once you have children, your children are not exactly yours. They are a product of, they're owned by the state or the province. Well, I've talked to a lot of people about that. I bear the children. They're my children. I said, they were yours, but they're not anymore. Why do you think Children's Aid can come around and take your children with no probable cause? It's because you signed into the birth certificate and the marriage license. So you are enslaved. You enslaved yourself, right? We all have from the beginning, right? So there you go. So you got, when you have children, don't register them. Give them a birth certificate or anything else, but let them be free.
Well, guys, I've got this clip here.
Yes.
Forgot. It is David Suzuki speech at the pipeline, Enbridge pipeline protest. Hold on, let me cue this up.
Great respect. You know, as police officers, of the tremendous respect Canadians hold for the RCMP. And I want to tell you, during World War II, the Japanese Canadians like me that were born and raised in this country were declared enemy aliens. And the RCMP had to look out for us when we were in jail in the interior. And I can tell you, they treated us like human beings. And they were very kind. And I have nothing but great thoughts towards the RCMP. But now you are here to enforce the law. That does not mean that you are above the law or that you make your own law. My grandson was dragged across the line yesterday or the day before and arrested. You're breaking the law. And I'm disappointed. I am disappointed. It grieves me because of the respect we hold for you. Now I want to say to the people here, thank you for coming. This is unceded land. And we have much to learn from the original people that cared for this land for thousands of years. What we are seeing here and what's going on all around the world now is a battle between mindsets. A mindset on the one hand of people who have lived in place for thousands of years and understand what it means to have respect for the land that gives them their lives. There's a battle between that, the indigenous perspective, and the dominant societies now, the dominant worldview that sees this not as sacred territory, but as opportunity, as potential resources. And I just want to tell you a story to end my, I don't want to go on too long, but in the 1990s, before Hong Kong was going to revert to China, a great deal of money was coming out of Hong Kong and being invested in British Columbia. And I received a letter in the mail saying, now is offshore money is pouring into Canada. Now is a good time to sell your property and buy up. I had never heard the idea of buying property and buying up. And that pissed me off. So I said, okay, if I'm going to sell my home, what are the things in my home that make it so valuable to me? And the first thing I did was put down the fact that when we bought the house, I asked my father-in-law and my mother-in-law to move in and live with us. And they have for 40 years lived upstairs. So my children have known grandma and granddad upstairs all their lives. And I put that down. My father was a cabinet maker. And when Tara and I were married 45 years ago, he built a kitchen cabinet for our apartment. When we bought the house, I pulled out a cabinet out and put it in the house.
Where did his father get the wood to make these cabinets? I said interject here. I mean, it's just him droning on about some Lightfoot story, but... You know, it's talking about the evil people that see this as the land of opportunity to get resources. Well, in order to build cabinets, you need resources, lumber mainly. And you're going to need electricity and nails and all kinds of tools and stuff, which all require resources and mining. So, you know, maybe it would be better if David Suzuki's dad was homeless and unemployed and they could live under the freeway in order to save the environment. Now, this political propagandist, globalist, working for the globalists, employed by the CBC, shows up here at this phony protest to lead the, you know, this native protest. And it's just so funny how, you know, now they've included Suzuki's grandson. So they've included a couple of Japanese people as Canada's token native people. So they're the native propagandists, but they're Japanese. They kind of look sort of native. I mean, I find that absurd, too. It's like, hey, David, I know you're Canadian, but you're of Japanese descent. You're not native, okay? And I'm sure there's a lot of Canadians that don't know this and think that David Suzuki and his grandson are native. They're not. They're Japanese. He admits this. I'm not saying he won't admit it, but he's playing the part as if he's native. He's like, you're not a native, okay? I just find it ridiculous, but the fact that you've got David Suzuki and his grandson all over the front of this thing with the microphones and the CBC there tells me that this is not some grassroots movement. This is OPEC. This is the Rockefellers. This is George Soros. Okay, so I don't know. Hey.
Yeah, It's a thing with David Suzuki when he, right at the start of the speech, you hear him saying that he doesn't have any problem with the RCMP and stuff like that, but he's saying they're on the wrong side of history at this thing. But then he's saying that it's like, who's running the camps when they threw the Japanese people in, during the Second World War? Cause that's when David Suzuki was a kid, they threw him into the camps. So he was like, he's been imprisoned by them and he doesn't have a problem with the RCMP at this point, but then, they stage a thing with his grandson now being arrested, so it's like, oh, now they're gonna throw him into the prison too. Prisoner of war. And then, environmental protesters can play it up. And then they got the Deep Green Resistance, which is like the anarchist, type of like hardcore, environmental protesters. They can really rile them up and, they can generate a lot of controversy by promoting the story with David Suzuki's son getting arrested. So that's why it's important for him to get arrested, because it's like a celebrity appearance.
Well, I mean, it appears somewhere in the 70s, Suzuki got picked up by Maurice Strong and the Rockefellers to become a propagandist for them. And basically that's what he's done most of his life, so... He's just a propagandist for the New World Order and for giant oil companies to fight competitors. And that's all we're seeing play out here. So Suzuki is not an environmentalist. He's not native. He's Japanese. And he works for the interests of the OPEC nations, the Rockefellers, and George Soros. And the CBC, which is funded by our own tax dollars, you know, so...
So you got to look at it too, John, as well. Why are they building the pipeline in the first place? Because naturally they were delivering the oil via like ships and all that kind of thing, and they were having problems with problem with the ships of the oil spewing all over the ocean. So they want to stop that kind of thing by building pipelines to make it safer for transportation. To me, I think that's an okay idea. You don't want to have more environmental disasters, so they're trying to do it that way by building the pipelines.
Well, no, it's one oil company versus several others. So you've got the Chinese oil versus
Soros.
We'll catch up on that flip side.
A world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are...
So, you want the news and information without the hate, the hype, the fear? Well, you've come to the right place. You can support Truth Frequency Radio by spreading the word on social networking sites like Facebook, Twitter, or your favorite forums. Want to take Truth Frequency Radio on the road? Listen on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, or other mobile devices. Want more than just the free stuff? Sign up for a VIP membership for as little as $4 a month and get super high-quality downloads, member-only content, and instant access to your favorite shows without the wait. It's only through your loving support that we're able to cover the cost and continue broadcasting. So now, stay tuned for more Free Speech Radio right here on the Truth Frequency Radio Network. KTFRA Worldwide.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you had the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. Life Straw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. Life Straw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. Life Straw is easy to clean, comes with a 1-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing Life Straw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Sea Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tatler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com, for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
Since our founding in 2005, we at YouTube have continually strived to bring you the best possible video experience on the internet. But now, we're updating YouTube to make it even better and give our users more of what they want. Introducing YouTube Plus, the new and improved version of YouTube.
Advertising, I mean user experience, has always been our number one priority on YouTube. Recently, we've noticed that there is an abundance of clear white blank space in the margins of each page of YouTube. So we asked ourselves, why don't we fill these with bright, flashy ads? Now, every page will have full-size ads on the edges, and they may or may not be relevant to the videos you're watching. These ads might be unsavory enough to make you want to hide your screen from your parents, but that's what makes YouTube Plus all the more interactive.
'Cause what are you gonna do? Switch to Vimeo? YouTube Plus, what are you gonna do about it?
Lit Free FM with Nathan Frazier.
Sundays on True Frequency Radio.
What is at stake is more than one small country. It is a big idea, a new world order.
All right.
The blue on the sea, loose and complete under sky, so smoky blue-green. I can't foresee a Dixie did she, so we danced the sidewalk clean. My memory is muddy, what's this river that I'm in? New Orleans is sinking, man, and I don't want to swim.
Welcome back to Angry Beaver Radio here on TruthFrequencyRadio.com. Now, I think Mark has some shout-outs he wanted to give to some of his friends listening in. I don't know if you're there, Mark. Apparently not.
Yes, I want to give out a shout to the people in the Toronto Truth Movement, who I've given the radio show link to in the past. And to my friend Zaidan from Egypt, if he's listening, and to Suad from Albania, and all the other people I've given the radio show link to in Mississauga here. Okay, go ahead, John.
Okay, so I've got this article here. UN committee slams police for brutality and shootings. This from OccupyCorporatism.com. Folks can go there and check out the article. The United Nations Committee Against Torture, UNCAT, condemned the police brutality and excessive force against racial and ethnic minorities being committed in the U.S. Alessio Bruni, member of UNCAT panel, said that Michael Brown's death was a tragedy and the UN would like to see Darren Wilson brought to trial for the murder. Bruni said there are numerous areas in which certain things should not be changed for the United States to comply fully with the convention. As a result of Brown's family speaking at UNCAT meeting in Switzerland, UNCAT have requested that the U.S. adopt reforms to come into full compliance with the 1987 UN Convention Against Torture, which has already been ratified by the U.S. Senate since. In the report, UNCAT mentions the Chicago Police Department because they frequently and recurrent police shootings or fatal pursuits of unarmed black individuals, while criticizing how the Chicago Police Department often profile and harass African Americans and Latinos. Another place of concern is the overuse of tasers by police, which has resulted in deaths all over the nation from Florida, Illinois, as well as stun guns used against unarmed Americans who are accused of resisting arrest or failing to comply immediately with police demands, fleeing suspects of minor crimes and teenagers. The article goes on further down here. You can find it at OccupyCorporatism.com. Now, in terms of, yes, there are, you know, a lot of the things in this report are true, but, you know, the UN has no standing to criticize any government because you've got UN so-called peacekeepers running around raping African women left, right, and center. That's like the thing to do. You know, become a UN peacekeeper and rape all the African women you want. And let us not forget about how they helped the people of Haiti by giving them cholera, by supplying them contaminated water. So these people have no standing. Like, you know, they are in no position to criticize anybody, in my point of view, because they're just as bad as you know, the people who they're criticizing. So I just find it absurd. But what do you guys think about this? The UNCAT, the UN's basically politicizing this and saying that they should be able to step in and retry this guy. This guy was already acquitted, so now, oh, that court wasn't good enough. Let's retry him in a UN court and give them the power. That's where I see this propaganda going towards.
Well, we can't give the UN any power like that, because you know what will happen. So, you know, the wrong people will get convicted and the right people will get off. So it would be a no-brainer as far as I'm concerned.
Right. It's pretty scary, though, if there's a United Nations court, like a world court, that's like a... They could pretty much overturn probably any decision they wanted to, then, if any member nation, I guess any nation that's a member of the UN.
Oh, yeah. If it's a world-type court, they can run amok, and they can charge anybody, or whether you're government or not, they have the right to do that. And what we don't want to do is give them the right to do that, but... Money is power, and they seek more power, and that's what's going to happen. So, yeah, for sure, we live in a prison planet, as they say, and you watch in the near future is going to get worse.
Yeah, well, it's like, you know, you didn't get the right judgment from Jeffrey Dahmer, so you went to Hannibal Lecter to help you.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
It is.
The UN is nobody's friend. They're, you know, the UN peacekeepers run around raping women. That's their MO, go rape women, and poisoning people. So that's what the UN does, and they're going to help with police brutality? I don't think so.
Isn't there also a Law of the Sea treaty or something the UN's trying to get through? They're going to control the seas?
There is that. That's on the books now. I don't know how many countries have ratified it or whatever, but you people can look that up, the Law of the Sea treaty. That's another one, another UN piece of garbage legislation going through. And I think the Law of the Sea Treaty has been around for a while. This thing since the 70s or
80s. Yeah, but I think this time now Obama supports it. Like, I think the U.S. didn't support it before, but now Obama's ready.
Yeah.
So he's probably got some kind of corporations in the ocean.
Well, it's just like the UN gun treaty. That's coming up soon, you know, to regulate the firearms of America through the UN, since the government won't do it.
So piracy is basically in the seas, the land, and probably the air pretty soon.
Oh, yeah.
And in space after that.
Yeah.
Wow. Don't look too good. I think we're in a whole heap of trouble.
Well, yeah, especially now that they're going to come out with the genetically modified dinosaurs. It's revealed in the new Jurassic Park trailer.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've got that series, Jurassic Park. Love it.
Well, there's a new one coming out, Jurassic World, you'll see.
Yeah. Oh.
So what, now they're going to try to take the actual DNA and do what Jurassic Park movie wanted to do, was like, you know, basically clone dinosaurs?
Looks like it. And, probably another Star Wars too. That'll be a Disney type of occult.
But when, you know, like with Jurassic Park, King James Bible is mentioning that we did walk around with the dinosaurs. So you know, probably not too far off the mark. And I think they'll probably do that too: create a dinosaur and put it in any of the zoo. Well, I don't know if they have any zoos big enough, but. Create a zoo out of for these animals. Who knows? It might happen.
Well, it's supposed to be highly illegal. Like, that's the one thing you'd hope, that if there's going to be a, you know, global UN force, that they'd be trying to police this creation of these chimeras, they're called, I think, in demonology or whatever. It's like a type of, you know, it's like inner species that, you know, created, you know, they create these type of, monsters, I guess. That's what they're working on, I guess. And That's the scary part with the DNA sequencing. You're doing genetically modified dinosaurs. It's going to be a Jurassic World.
Yeah, yeah. David Suzuki dinosaur.
Ooh. They're doing the genetically modified salmon, and one of them is a chimera spliced with some type of insect gene to make it grow faster. And that's
oh no,
but that's oh, no. Proof.
That's where it all relates back to David Suzuki's theory that a human is a type of maggot. It's like a third level maggot or something.
I don't know. I'm just saying that there's a genetically modified salmon that's been approved for production and consumption, and it's a chimera. It's spliced within an insect gene, so it's not just a GMO salmon. It's a chimera salmon. It's like a salmon spliced with some type of insect, and it grows a lot faster. Looks like a salmon, but it is a chimera. So, I mean, it is. They're already, not only are they monkeying around with it, they're approving it.
So. Yeah, and it's also related to the fact that we're going to be eating bugs in the future. That's what they're doing. The 3D printed food is going to be with a bug type protein.
I wouldn't be surprised if they did allow a Jurassic Park type island or thing to develop. I wouldn't be surprised. They're going to let us eat, you know, insect salmon. So why not? And yeah, the insect food, but I mean that's just insects. It's not like a, you know, a bee spliced with a spider. Yet, anyway. They're just talking about feeding us insects. The UN says the planet's overpopulated, and 1/6 of the planet already lives and survives off of insects, and that we should, in order to be more sustainable and environmentally friendly, we should eat insects instead of vegetables or meat.
Well, yeah, John, when you mentioned that, I've watched some video where some Korean people were eating live squid. Everything on their plate was live. They're just taking their chopsticks and, you know, eating live squid, stuff like that. And it looked pretty gross not having it cooked and it's still, you know, still live on your plate. Yeah, it was the Korean. These people are eating them like left, right, and center.
Oh, no. That's pretty scary. It's like for dessert, you could have the mosquito that fell in the sap in the tree.
Dan, yeah. What was this? What was this 3D printer for? Was it for NASA?
Yeah, and then that's what they're going to feed the astronauts of the future. So it'll be sort of like a Star Trek replicator, but your thing will be made of insect type of stuff. They put a flavor enhancer, probably.
Right. So the material to feed the 3D printer is bugs or some type of insect protein, and then it prints the food out of the insect protein, basically, for the so that's your replicator. Doesn't sound so good anymore, does it? I think I'd rather have
yeah, some type of beetle, I think.
We were talking about this before, the replicator. I'd rather have one that just spits out ketchup packets than bug food. if I had to choose.
Yeah, it's like a trend in technology, I guess, where the Star Trek stuff that's on Star Trek becomes real. And I think some of it is, people are just creating the stuff because they're big Star Trek fans.
Yeah, but it becomes
when you look at the tablet or the iPad, it's like that's what they used to use on Star Trek.
It becomes real, but not quite in the way you expected it to. It's kind of a disappointment.
Well, I was watching. I was watching Jesse Ventura, and he was interviewing. Captain Kirk. Right. And,
oh, really? It's that on the Aura TV? The
yes. He was interviewing
him.
Is it
actually Shatner, or is it Captain
Shatner? Kirk? Yes, Shatner. And he was actually talking about exactly what we're talking about, like a lot of things that they did with the. With the teleporters and all that kind of stuff are becoming, are going to be real today. Like your iPads, like you said, your iPads, your tablets and everything else. It's all coming to fruition right now. We're living in it right now, as you can see it.
And we've got the food replicator already out there. It's got a few bugs in it we got to work out, but.
It's got a few bugs to iron out.
Great. Give me a sundae. Yeah. Give me an ice cream sundae with chocolate sauce. Mm-hmm. But then the ice cream sundae with chocolate sauce comes out, but it's made of bugs.
bugs, yeah.
So, no, it sucks. It's not as nice as Star Trek. On Star Trek, it didn't say everything's made from bugs. Just anything that they said, anything that they wished for, the replicator produced for them, and they seemed to enjoy it. I don't want an ice cream, a bug ice cream sundae. Okay, this, I don't know. They got to work out the bugs in these things.
Eating all this?
Sort of like a magic wand where they can like heal diseases, the medical tricorder, and it's like, heal like a bruise or whatever. They just like wave it around and then like gets healed.
Yeah, you just
don't have that one yet.
Just use your Android or smartphone, radiate the spot, and there you go. You...
Yeah, well, the other one they don't have is the transporter or the, you know, where the beam me up, beam me down. Or at least they haven't revealed that one if they do have it.
I think it's in the production line now.
Some kind of teleportation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because they got, what's it called? Telekinesis with, like, humans can move stuff with their minds, right? And they,
Yes, yeah.
The mentalists.
Well, they say your mind is the strongest part of your body.
But if we had teleportation, who would build the roads?
What?
Who would build the roads?
That's a good one.
Who would maintain the roads? I mean, who would use the roads, obviously? Who would need a car?
Well, why do you think they're making the roads smaller? They're going to be smaller and smaller until they disappear.
Well, all we can do is hope that teleportation becomes reality. Then we won't need cars or roads. But, you know, the progressives argue, well, we need government to build roads, and who will build the roads? It's like, we don't need roads anymore. We have teleporters, idiot. And then all the dumb unions that have jobs building roads will fight tooth and nail. And it's just like the school system. You know, like up here in Ontario, there's many schools that are forcing the kids to have a tablet for school, and the schools have Wi-Fi in them. So why not just get rid of the physical school altogether?
Yeah. The gadget book. It's like, it reminds me of Inspector Gadget. Remember there's the girl? She always had this book, like in a computer book. She'd carry it around.
Yeah. Well, I know McDonald's a few years ago had the Inspector Gadget doll that you bought bits and pieces from McDonald's. Mm-hmm. They had a few years ago. I have that at home.
What's he come with, like some kind of tablets probably, smartphones, mobile device? He's got the mobile device in his shoe, right? Isn't that Get Smart, right?
That was Get Smart, yeah. Yeah, that was Get Smart. But
original cell phone was in his shoe, yeah.
He had a siren on his hat, and he had, you could make his legs go up and down. Right, he's an interchangeable type thing. You can raise his arms and make his legs move and stuff like that. I have that. It's complete.
Isn't there also like the $6 million man or the Bionic Man or RoboCop even too? All in Inspector Gadget, they all have a similar thing where they bring a cop back and put all this metal gear, electronic gear in him, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. So I have that. So probably a collector's item. I don't know. I'm going to check eBay out.
Collectible plastics.
But yeah, why not? Why throw it away on the ground to be cleaned up and stuff like that? Just take it and melt it down and make something out of it. I got an Inspector Gadget out of it. How awesome is that? Love it.
Dear.
So many things you can do with it. You know, I'm going to keep it, and I'm going to check and see if it's going to be worth some money. You never know. But now that I've got that on my mind, I'm going to do that after the show.
I bet you the Wi-Fi that John was talking about that's in the schools, they probably block out websites. Like, they probably only allow it to go on the Toronto Board of School website or whatever.
But if
they probably won't allow you to go to Truth Frequency or whatever.
No.
All the kids have Wi-Fi and they have to have a tablet. Why don't they just do school over the internet from home? You do it over video Skype. You get 12 teachers.
Because they need to keep you in a closed circuit network, I think, so they can block out all the other websites. Because, like, if the kids are at home, they'd actually go on the internet to the sites they want to look at. Like frequency radio.
Think of all the money spent on the heat and the hydro for all the brick and mortar schools. Think of all the money spent on school buses. All the money spent on the fuel for the school buses. You know, all the money spent on books and all this other crap, when it could all be done over the internet. And, you know, you could have one teacher for each grade, and that teacher teaches grade one or grade two or grade three for the whole entire country. No more teachers. Goodbye. Say goodbye to their jobs.
Well, they used to have that years ago in the red schoolhouses. They had one teacher teaching all eight grades.
Well, you only need one teacher to show up on video Skype to teach grade one to the whole entire country. Why not? Why are we blowing all this money on brick and mortar when we have the technology? Now the schools are forcing all the kids to buy these tablets and these devices in order to go to school. No more pen and paper. So then what's the point? Why even go to school? Why not just have one teacher does a Skype class, and that's where your kids go to school? It's just the amount of wasted money. These teachers are going to be out of a job. It's just a matter of time. School, like the physical schools, are obsolete, and they're going to fight like hell to try to keep their jobs and their $100,000 a year pensions.
Well, I don't mind having school like in home, as long as it's not UN run.
Well, that's a whole nother issue altogether, that where the curriculum comes from. That's
what's
become UN run and UN propaganda, is that the curriculum comes from UNESCO. That's a different issue. You need to stop the curriculum coming from UNESCO. But in terms of schooling, I don't see why, if all the kids have to have a laptop or a thing anyway, then why not just stay home? Why do this? And other people argue, oh, well, the kids won't be socialized. The cultural Marxism and the degenerate society that these kids are learning in school is disgusting. You know? Our society has become completely degenerate in terms of Jerry Springer-like. The general public has become Jerry Springer guests. And they pick all this degenerate garbage up at school in the social setting. So is it good for them? I don't know. But here's the thing. You could keep a few of the brick-and-mortar schools around just for sports and recreation, so that after the kids are done their school thing, they could go play soccer or basketball or whatever, go learn karate. Kind of make them like a community center. You know, you don't shut down all the schools. You shut down quite a few of them, and you leave some dotted around for the gymnasium and the football field and all those things. And that way you still have the kids being able to be social and take part in physical activity. But the billions, probably trillions of dollars this would save is unreal. And we have the technology already in place to do so, and to take the classroom onto the internet completely and out of the brick and mortar. But the teachers will not go for it. They're all sitting there waiting for their $100,000 a year pensions. They're nothing but glorified babysitters, brainwashing children guilty of child abuse by indoctrinating them with UNESCO propaganda, whether they know it or not. And now I've got to pay these glorified babysitters $100,000 a year pension on top of their salaries that they made all their life? I mean, I'm just sick of it. Screw it. Take it online, and all you need is 12 teachers to teach 12 grades. The rest can go hit the unemployment line. You know what? They can take classes on the internet and learn a new skill, learn how to do a different job, further their education. Wouldn't that be hilarious?
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah, it's still a type of a homeschooling, but I think that would be quite appropriate. And you won't have the problems that you do with the school system now, that type of thing. And you know, they're always talking. All the schools are talking about, there's not enough kids in school now. The attendance has dropped, and all this kind of stuff. And if they're a homeschool, like you said, John, doing it. One teacher teaching 12 grades or 12 teachers teaching the grades, I think it'd be a lot better. You won't have the dropping of the students as much. I think it'd be more of an improvement.
Yeah, and it gives everybody more time.
Yeah.
You don't have to get to school and get home and go do this and do that. You're there already. You do
exactly
your stuff, and then when you're done, you go play with your friends.
Yeah, you don't have to spend 8 hours in school. You could spend maybe 2 or 3 hours doing whatever you have to do. You don't really need any homework because you're already at home doing the work, right?
Right.
There you go. Yeah, I agree with that. I like that idea. You don't need a principal because your parents are the principal anyway, supposedly. So, yeah, I think it'll work out good.
Well, time will tell, and when that time comes, there's going to be a fight on. There's going to be some people with some fat pensions that aren't going to want to give that up. And in terms of making the transition from a physical teacher to an online classroom teacher, there just isn't going to be enough of a need for them. Because a grade one class is a grade one class. We don't need 500 grade one online teachers. The one that does a good job, just replay that. You know, and that's the thing. Grade one class, you only need them for 1 year. The second year, you just replay that lesson.
Yeah.
So technology is going to put teachers out of a job, unfortunately, eventually. But they're not going to go easy.
No, they'll be scratching and clawing at keeping their jobs and their pensions. I agree with that, yeah, for sure.
Well, guys, we only got a couple minutes left. I don't know if there's any more shout-outs or anything more you guys want to say.
Well, I'm always, giving people our cards for the radio show and wanting to get them to tune in when they have time. I know a lot of people are busy, and there's a lady from Korea that I converse with every once in a while, and she's just a new friend on Facebook. I don't know her name because it's in Korean, so I wanted to send out a big hello to her, and she's watched our videos, and she's going to let me know how she enjoys the show, and all the other ones that I've talked to over the months about tuning in radio. If you want to download that, you can download that app, or just go to truthfrequencyradio.com, and you'll get us there every Saturday live, 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern time.
Right on. Well, also you can check out angrybeaverradio.wordpress.com. That's a long one. You can just do a search engine for Angry Beaver Radio. You should find our blog there. And I'm hoping to have up soon, guys, a link to our old Orion Talk Radio archives that is no longer on the air. And we'll get a link for that up on our blog.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations.
Word out.
A new world order.
Be safe, everybody.
The rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful.
According to a 2010 earnings report, Google earns nearly $80 million in a single day. On August 15, 2012, Google was fined $22 million by the FTC for illegally stealing your data. Google learned its lesson, right? Wrong. The very next day, in a show of arrogance, the Washington Post reported that Google employees rode tricycles around sacred Mayan ruins.
Because we know where you are, we know where you've been, we can more or less guess what you're thinking about.
Can you trust this megalomaniac with your personal information? Can you trust Google? With Microsoft's Bing, Steve Ballmer has personally ensured your privacy. He's even partnered with Facebook to keep you connected to your loved ones. Make the moral choice. Decide with Bing.
I'm Steve Ballmer, and I approve this message.